How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Okay, tonight we're just going to pick up from where we left off last Wednesday night. And I couldn't think of a good name for it. It's called The Necessity of Order. If you recall, last Wednesday night we taught on the subject of doing a personal checkup and an evaluation. And we ended up with the scripture that says, withdraw thyself from any brother who walks disorderly, and kind of ended on that note, and it was like a question was hanging in the air. What does it mean, disorderly versus orderly? And how can a Christian not be orderly, and et cetera? So I thought we'd spend just a few moments tonight. So if you'll look at your notes, they're only half the size they usually are. It doesn't mean a thing. We have notes missing here. Okay. Let's... Good. All right. Thank you. Okay. So, interesting, because I looked up in the Oxford English Dictionary, the word order means to set or keep in order or proper condition. It means to adjust or dispose or carry on according to a set of rules, to regulate, to direct, to conduct, to rule, govern, manage, to settle. And so that's really what we want to spend these moments on tonight. So the first thing I want you to catch is that everything that God has created is supposed to have order to it. All things are created to have order. Can you imagine anything that doesn't have an order to it? If you check out the human body, it has to have order. And when it gets out of order, it either gets sick or dies pretty quick. It has an order to it. Everything has order. The earth around the sun has an order to it. The moon around the earth has an order to it. The tides have an order to them. The air, the chemical composition, everything is ordered. And so everything God creates is to have order. Well, when you look in the scripture to what is ordered, I picked up one that's really, really simple, that even when we stack wood, you just don't leave wood sitting around. You put it in order. You stack it in order. In fact, I think I put a couple of pictures of stacked wood in there. I know Mike manages a warehouse where there's a lot of lumber. And I'm sure he could give you great testimony of the necessity of it being in order. And if all the sizes and shape were just strewn all over the place and somebody came to buy something, you would never be able to, because order is really critically important. And it's amazing because God actually prescribed order as to the manner in which we come into His house to gather here. Did you know that? Look at this. These were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord. So we come into this house according to an order. And so God prescribed. And in fact, look at this. As the Lord God of Israel had commanded him, that this was not option, that there, even before you got into the house of God, you had to come in according to an order. Now, we announce these orders. I'm not sure we all do them, but we get them. For example, in Psalm 100, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. That is the order That's order. That is how we should discipline ourselves to be here. And of course, he has order for a certain day of the week on which to meet. And so everything has order to it. So we're even ordered about how to come into the house of God. And then look at this, even what goes on in the house of God. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. It had to have structure. It had to have regulation. It had to have guidelines that were not optional in the Old Testament. Now, when you come over into the New Testament, you discover that the church is also to have order. In fact, in all its aspects, look at the scripture. Let all things, everything, be done decently and according to an order. Everything, all aspects of the Christian church's life are ordered. There is very little room left for doing one's own thing. In fact, isn't that the opposite to order? Chaos, where everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Well, we come to the house of God, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, we should expect order. In fact, this passage in the 14th chapter of Corinthians was given particularly to correct the lack of order. And so let me see what I put on next. And just verses before, God is not the author of confusion. So one of the reasons for order is to eliminate chaos, eliminate confusion, eliminate all kinds of misunderstanding. And in fact, I don't think I put the scripture in this, but let me just use the context. And I skipped the slide for some reason. I don't know why I missed that slide. I realized it's a little late, but this scripture applies to use of spiritual gifts. The 14th chapter is talking about the use of gifts of prophecy and interpretation of tongues and prayers and stuff that was going on when we come together. It was to be done in an orderly fashion, and it is to be done by course. And in fact, we are even given instruction in the Bible, and we're given direct command about the receiving of the tithe and the offering. It is, look at this. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches, I'm also given the same order to you. We are to follow an order. And so what is the order? It is on the first day of the week. People are amazed, come here Wednesday nights, visit us, and we don't take up an offering. And they've never been to church, doesn't take up an offering before, every time you get together. Well, it's because we believe there is an order, and we want to follow the orders. And so on the first day of the week, this is what everyone is to do, lay by him in store. According, the percentage says, God hath prospered him. So you don't have to come. When I get there, we don't have to straighten out, go back in your records and figure out what your tithe or your gifts should have been. So we are even given order to the receiving of tithes and offerings. And then the members are to have order, not only when they're together, but individually. And so Paul writes this letter, and this is what he says. I'm absent in the body, but I am with you in spirit. Now, look at what he's doing. I am joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Three things that Paul was really excited about, that when he thought about them, it brought him joy, and he beheld their order and their steadfastness. Now, this order is this Greek word that means to have a regular arrangement. Now, I want to do a little bit of the law of double application here. When they came together in the meetings, there was to be order and not confusion. And Paul certainly meant beholding their order. I mean, they got it together. They were doing it the way it should be done. But it also, when he talks about this phrase, beholding your order, I think it means more than just at the gathering. I think when people come here, they should be able to look over here at the Cook family, for example. I hope you don't mind me using you as an illustration. It's too late to turn. Not, but in fact, just look over there. It kind of looks in order, doesn't it? I mean, it looks in order. I think if you talk to them, you'll discover that not only do they look like they're in order, but they have got their home. They've got their house. They've got their family. They've got their marriage. The whole goal here is order. In fact, I would go so far as to suggest to you in very strong terms that salvation is a call back to order. I think sin is out of order. Anything that is out of order is probably sinful. Certainly, sinful things are out of order. And so Jesus comes, as you're going to see in a few moments, he comes to bring us back into order. That's why it's accomplished by the enthronement of Christ in our lives as the Lord. And so when he is my Lord, all the various aspects are come under his orders. They come under his management. They come under his control. They come under his regulation. They come under his government. Use whatever term suits you, but it means the same. In other words, when a life is properly under the Lord Jesus Christ, a man has to have a right relationship with his wife, with his children, with his parents, with his job, with his finances, because it's a call back to order, and redemption is getting out of one kingdom into another. The kingdom you come out of is a kingdom that lacks order. It's a kingdom where everybody does what's right in their own eyes. It's a kingdom where it's chaotic, where everybody is like Satan and doing his own thing and operating by iniquity. And so when we become converted to Christ, we are called into order, put things back the way they should be. So all members are to have order. So what that means is, in fact, that every person is to be in order. Every person is to have order. So in what area should we have order? And I didn't have time to do this exhaustively, but let's let a couple things. Number one, you better make sure that what comes out of your lips and your mouth is ordered. We understand this because we know that the power of death and life is in the tongue. And so a person who doesn't have his tongue ordered is going to wreak a lot of damage. And so God says, even when you pray to him, when you talk to him, set your words in order before me. We just don't throw out any old words. It's methodical. So our words have to be ordered. And then God wants to order our coming and going. There are certain guidelines, and we sang this song tonight. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So what that means simply is where your feet take you is really important. Where your feet don't take you is equally important. God has an order. He has what the Proverbs refers to as the path of life. We are to stay on the path of life. That's why he orders our steps on this path. And don't look to the right hand, don't look to the left hand, but let your eyes straight on. Beware of people beside the path of life that try to take you off the path. Because what they're trying to do is interrupt the order of where you should be and what you should be doing. Your geographic location is important. There are certain geography places in the city that you live in that you should not visit. And there are times you shouldn't visit some of the other places that you could visit in the daytime, because our steps are ordered by the Lord. And so this is delightful. And then the fact, I just put this in the whole category here, and I'm going to show you why in a moment. Almost all, in fact, all our behaviors are to be according to order. Let's take a look at the scripture. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. Now watch this. To him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Now, there is so much in this verse. And this would be a good verse for what we just stated earlier, that salvation is a call to order. And it's a call to order our conversation. Now, I connected this word conversation with this phrase of mine, all behaviors, and I want to show you why. And it's because the Hebrew word here, this word converse or conversation, is often used not to refer to our speech merely, certainly includes that, but it is the road we travel on. It is the concourse. It is the converse. It is the it is the whole direction of our life. So God says to him that ordereth his whole concourse, converse, his whole way of life aright, he will show the salvation of God. So every person is to have order. The question then becomes, how do we get a life in order? And this is where I really want to pitch a few tent for a few moments here over these thoughts. How to get your life in order. And so you probably can guess it really isn't very complicated because it's from the Word of God. Isn't that good? Order my steps in thy word. Don't do anything, think anything, say anything that you don't have a scripture to support. Order in the word is our source of direction, instruction, regulation, guidelines, government. Order my steps in thy word. Now watch this. And don't let iniquity have dominion over me, because what happens? Iniquity interferes with the word ordering your steps, because iniquity is self-will, self-management. I will exalt. Remember Satan's illustration. So we get our life in order, first of all, from God's word. Now, let me give you another illustration of this. Now, this is Luke speaking here, and he's a doctor. And doctors, if you hang out any time with the doctor that we're privileged to have among us, Dr. Paul Shirley, you will find out that they think in a different manner than the average person because they are trained. Now, watch this. Paul, some people are groaning right now, but but here we have Luke, Dr. Luke's writing now, and he sees things. Now, watch this. He says, I have taken in hand to set forth, look at this, in order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Now watch this. He says, all these things were delivered to us from the beginning. We were eyewitnesses to them, and we were ministers of the word. But what he's saying is, I'm going to take all those things and I'm going to set them forth in an order of declaration. I'm going to sequence them for your benefit. Look at this now. And here's why. It seemed good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So he's writing to Theophilus. He says, I understood this stuff from the beginning, and what I'm doing is I am writing this to set forth the declaration in order so that you'll have it. This is simply an illustration of what we refer to in the first verse about order my steps in thy word. So the apostles and the authors of Scripture were divinely instructed by God as to the order of what they put down for us. That's why we get to set our life in order by God's word. Now, the second way that you need to understand in order to get your life in order is from listening to wise preaching. This doesn't mean preaching, it means wise preaching. So, watch this now, because this is referring here to Solomon. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, in addition, he gave good heed. Third thing he did was to seek out and look and set in order many of the sayings of the Proverbs. They are set in order by wise preaching. And in order to do this, he said, I had to find out acceptable words. Not all words are acceptable in preaching, in wise preaching. Not all words are acceptable in setting the truths of Scripture in order. And so he had to seek it out to find acceptable words and to find that which was written, that it was upright, even the words of truth. Now watch this. We are to order our steps in the Word. Secondly, we are to listen to wise ministers who have sought out, put in sequence, according to upright words, even the truth, so that we can pick up on the order that we might not have got in our personal search. And by the way, it should go without saying, but let me say it. Regardless, if any preacher, this one included, says anything that is not in keeping with this book, you should not receive it. But the job of a wise minister is to search out what this book says and to present it to you so that you can use what he gives you to order your life. Everybody follow that? Now watch this. So wise preaching, to set in order the many sayings of Scripture. And now the next verse says this. The words of this wise preacher, which he sought out from the Scripture, are to be as goads. And I put a little picture in your notes of a goad. A goad is a prod. If you need to get a cow to move, you prod them. They even got electrical ones now that when you prod them, it gives them electrical shock. You don't have to hit them. You don't have to goad them as hard. Goads were used in ancient days where horses were drawing wagons. And near the horses' hoofs, there were goads set to keep the horses from getting out of the path. That's what Paul said. It was what the Lord said to Paul when he knocked him off his horse on the road to Damascus. Yes, Damascus. He said, "Why persecutest Saul? Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Well, that is the goads. That he was using the illustration of a horse trying to get away from the tongue and the harness and kicking against the goads. Goads are designed to get us to go in a certain direction. So watch this now. So what we're to do in order to get our lives in order is to make sure it comes from God's Word. Secondly, it comes from wise preaching. And we are to receive the wise preaching as if it were goads. And so this is something that should always happen. Now, some people don't like this, but I think it occurs a lot here. And some people probably don't come here because they get goaded. Because the Word of God is meant to give us a jab to change the course, to change the direction, to get us back in order. Okay? So we need to receive the wise teaching as goads. Not only that, but as if they were nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. So, getting your life in order, finding it in the Word, listening to wise teaching, and now watch this, and fastening the truths to your life. Otherwise, everything we learn here is merely an academic process. Has no significance, no application. We don't change. We don't do anything. But if we're to get our life in order, order comes from knowing it's in the Word, listening to wise ministry, somebody who sought out the orders of Scripture and put them in some logical sequence, some process to help you understand them better, whether it be on the subject of marriage or child raising or principles of employment, etc. Somebody searches them all out, pulls them all together, and teaches the many sayings of Scripture in a sequence to help you grasp the truths that are necessary to fasten your life to get your life in order. Has it made sense? Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I want you not to miss this last phrase of this verse. These truths are given from one shepherd. Now, pastors are often called shepherds. They are really under shepherds. There is really only the Lord is my shepherd. He is the shepherd. He, oh, the great shepherd of the sheep. Referred to by Peter. All these things come from one shepherd. That's why, look, it's according to the Word, you order your life in the Word. You listen to the wise ministry that is an accumulation of the sayings or proverbs of Scripture, the many sayings of Scripture on a given subject, put together thoughtfully in a process so that you can grasp them all at one time on that particular subject, and then you apply them to your life. These are the first three steps of how to get life in order. All right. Next verse. It is necessary for you to write what you learn in books. Now, this may surprise you. It certainly surprised me. These scriptures that I've given to you so far are in sequence. So let's just back up here. Let's back up one more and see the sequence here. Preacher is wise and taught the people the knowledge to give heed, sought out, set in order the sayings of Scripture. And it was his job to find out acceptable words to present them. And they have to be upright words, even the words of truth. And these words from the wise preacher are to be as goads and as nails to be fastened by the masters of assembly, that's you, to your life. And they all come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. And further, by these, my son, by these sayings, by these things you have been taught from Scripture, to be admonished of making many books, there is no end. Now this is not a commentary about all the books in the world that are written. It's talking about the books that you write. It's talking about the compilation that you make for your life to get your life in order. So that's why you have teaching notes when you come here. I'm really trying to facilitate that a little bit. But these notes are not enough. How many books will you fill in your lifetime with instructions from the Lord that are meant to help you get your life in order? This has nothing to do with presses or the printing industry or all the books in the world. It means if you only have one book, you probably haven't got there yet, of making many books. Be admonished about this. Look, this is... This by these is referring to the verse before which talks about all these sayings that you're taught by listening to wise preaching that accumulate, that you accumulate, that you fasten to your life. And if you are going to maintain order, you need to track them somewhere. Everybody hearing this now? A great moment for me. Years ago, the finances were really tough in my life at the moment. And I thought, well, you know, I need to do, I was doing some missionary work in Central America and funding myself in the main. And I needed some money. And I thought, you know, I need to find some way of supporting the ministry I'm doing, because your out goes more than your income. You know the rest of the story. Your upkeep becomes your downfall. So there's an organization up in Dallas, Texas, that offered to fly me up there, pay my expenses for a weekend. I think it was a weekend, or at least 3 days I was there, and proposed to me the idea of selling basically courses to businesses, and so that I would go into a business, sort of like the Dale Carnegie thing. It wasn't Dale Carnegie, but some kind of thing on success. And so I went up there to look at it. Of course, I didn't enter the business for reasons that I don't need to detail here. But while I was there, the president of the organization, and I learned so much, he's the man that wrote this saying. Let me give the saying to you. Success is the progressive realization of predetermined worthwhile goals. Think about that. Success is the progressive realization of predetermined worthwhile goals. He's the author. It was the Saturday morning. It was a weekend. It was the Saturday morning breakfast. There were 500 of us, I guess, at the breakfast. And one of the features that this man taught and taught to business people was chronicling and journaling. And he had a stack of books this high. And so he said, for example, here are mine. And he started just flipping through the pages. And reading the highlights to us. What we were getting in that 1 hour of him doing that, we were getting his life message. And this man was very wealthy. And, I mean, pages where they dedicated the hospital in his name here and gave to this cause there. And my son was converted to Christ here, and my daughter here, and full of scripture. And there would be a page of some piece of wisdom that he learned about people, about business, about success. And it was a stack of books as high. They were 8.5, 11. They were full-size binders. And I remembered thinking how wonderful, how absolutely wonderful that event was for a man to open up his books. The stories of his life, the things he had learned from God, and tell them, even in such a small part, to us. What truths, how many can you list that God has used to put your life in order? That one day you could sit with a son or daughter and leaf through the pages and say, hey, son, hey, look at this. My dad told me this when I was 16. Do you remember when I taught this to you, son? I can hardly wait till you tell me when you taught your son. Be admonished about this. that by these things that are referred to in the previous verses, which are the substance of getting life ordered, that of them there's no end to the making of many books. Now watch this. Because the fifth step in getting order in your life, number five, is to in turn study what you have written. So look at the context of this scripture now. By these things you have learned, these proverbs, you've listened to the wisdom of the preacher who sought them out and presented them to you. And you've written and you have accepted them as goads, and they are structured to order your life, to supply guidelines. And by these, you've made many books of all those things that you have learned. And then of much study is the weariness of the flesh. The context of this is that we should be studying and reviewing those things we have learned from the Lord that help put our life in this order. Now, there's a number of reasons why. I can only speculate on some of them. One of them is so that you can stay in order after you get in order. Because you can get your life in order for... How many of us know stories of people who once had their life in order and now it's falling apart? What a tragedy that is. Too bad somebody didn't tell them to write those things down and study them because they could have stayed in order. Another good reason for studying them is not only to stay in order, but the second reason is to be able to impart to others what you have learned. And so keep studying, keep studying. If you're talking to somebody on the job who's drinking too much, got an alcohol problem, or home problems, or whatever the issue is. What have you got that's part of your life message? Well, you may have a photographic memory, and that's wonderful, but most of us need to keep records. What have I learned that I can now give to this person? I am so excited about the children of the church for a lot of reasons. One of them is that they are at this very young age building a life message now. Think of how they'll be able to influence other adults and children as well with the lessons that they've learned to order their lives so they can pass them on. So study what you have written and review it for your own benefit and the benefit of others. And then lastly, to get your life in order, the verse we referred to last week is to limit your associations, your friendships, only with people who live ordered lives. Now, notice, we command you, brothers, we command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. And not after the regimens, the disciplines, the traditions that you have received of us. Now, this is referring to fellow Christians. And it's somewhat startling for me to even look. I mean, I stared at that verse for a long time. And then I reflected on some other passages of Scripture, listened to a couple of them. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. People who don't have order in their life are going to crash. Because that's God's purpose of having order. We quote that scripture, you know, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit raises up a standard. Standards. Against him. What are the standards? The standards are these ordered guidelines. You raise your standards. The Holy Spirit raises your standard of speech, of conduct, of whatever. And it prevents the enemy. People who become Christians but are not disciplined or discipled, that's the same word, who don't get into an instruction situation where they learn to get their lives in order, can live a quasi-Christian life, but it's out of order, and it's doomed for destruction. A person without order will be subject to temptations that they otherwise wouldn't face, because the orders keep them out of temptation. When we have the right orders, we will avoid evil men, evil women. The right, because our lives are ordered. We have these structures. We have these definements. We have these confinements. We have these guidelines built into our lives. But if you hang out with somebody who doesn't have them, two things can happen. Number one, that person is going to crash. And number two, their undisciplined, glandular approach to Christianity could rub off in you, off on you, and under a false assumption of Christian liberty, lead us to a place where we don't have ordered lives. The commands that are given to order our lives according to these precepts, these statutes, are removed. And that person becomes like a city without walls. Anything can come in because there's no. So, the scripture says to withdraw yourself. Kind of an important word. Don't want you to miss here. Every brother that walks out of order. Instead of walking after the orders or the traditions, which are established orders, which he received of us. Now watch this. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. How do they know that they should follow Paul? Because we behave not ourselves in a disorderly fashion among you. Probably one of the great temptations in the mix with other Christians is to want to be accepted and desired, sought after by them. And the danger is that we should let down our ordered lives in order to be like them. Big mistake. Better to be alone and orderly than to be in the crowd of those who lack order. I want to suggest to you this would be a great lesson in itself if you can receive it from the preacher. Put this in your notebook. To attach this to your life. And if you should get an opportunity to talk to leaders of singles groups or youth groups or whatever groupings there are in other churches, etc. And if you don't get a chance to talk to the leaders, but you talk to people who go there, because as most people in this church full well know, the danger of church is to put your children in a group of disordered other children. It's for a single person to go to a singles meeting where there's lots of singles there, where they're not walking orderly. This is a good enough reason, this scripture, to not participate. Command you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition that they learned of us. For you know how you ought to follow us. And I want to spend my last 2 minutes on this phrase. Yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Now watch this, because this is really bottom line. If we will live ordered lives, then people will know they ought to follow us. How will they know that? They will know because we behave ourselves in an orderly and never in a disorderly fashion. My wife, God bless her, has helped me 1,000 ways in my lifetime. One of which, and I probably could ask her to quote the scripture, she'd do so more accurately than I, because she preached it at me longer than I listened. It's got the word apothecary in it. Apothecary. What's the word, doctor? Apothecary. A dead fly maketh the ointment of the apothecary. You don't even remember it anymore. See, I'm living it so well, she doesn't have to preach it anymore, see. So does a little folly in him that has a reputation for wisdom. There's been a lot of times in my life where there's been two me's. There's one, I stand up here and I really sound really spiritual because I'm quoting scripture or showing you something in scripture. But there was another me, often, that when I got in a group, I could, I don't know what the right word is, fool around, act up, be a clown. And I don't have an excuse for it. Was wrong. But a little folly in a wise man is like a fly in the ointment of the apothecary. Of the apothecary, the drugstore. The drugstore is an apothecary. So you go there, do you get this ointment for some that needs to be pure and clean for put on some part of your body for healing purposes, and there's a fly in it. Where is it? Ecclesiastes 10:1. So is there ever a time appropriate for us to forsake being orderly? Answer? No. And in fact, make sure you withdraw. These are the six steps that I've discovered on how to get your life in order. How to get order in your life. In conclusion, I was further surprised, and delightfully so, from Scripture to discover that this is precisely the mission of Jesus. Watch this. You know the Scripture well. Oops. Unto us a child is born. Remember this one? You should quote this more than at Christmas time, you know that. Unto us a son is given. The government, control, shall be on his shoulders. Oh, I'm telling you. This is what it's about. Jesus in control of my life, your life. Governing our lives. That's what gets it in order. Now watch this. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now watch this. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. Look at this now. What's the purpose? There shall be no end to his government and his peace, but upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord will perform this. His intention is to order a new kingdom. We talk about a new world order. There is a new world order coming. The day when everything shall be put under his feet. And the government of Jesus will be so increased on this planet that everybody will be doing the will of God on this planet all the time. When the kingdoms of the world, of the earth, become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever, ever, and ever. You may want to take a look at this verse. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. Praise his name.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.